Good morning. We'll try to, as short as possible, in the time frame that we have, to go through, as my father-in-law said, a very complex topic, and really a topic that the realm of the theology and the philosophy to the practice takes major steps and major bridges that need to be merged in order for there to be this flow of understanding. So what we'll try to accomplish, what we'll try to do is we'll try to give a general understanding of how we look at the idea of where does Parnassa come from, how do we look at our source of sustenance and preparing for that, our efforts. The question about whether it's totally dependent on trusting and relying that God will sustain us, to our effort that we have to put into it, our hishtadlus. What do contemporary poskim, what do we learn out halacha, today's day and age, about the different forms of dealing with situations where one is preparing for the future, whether it's retirement or any other financial situation where they need to prepare in advance, and to maybe touch off with one general idea of understanding how we're relating to our mission in life. And this is a question that really deals with that idea. If we're talking about betochen, and we're talking about the idea of trusting, or the word betochen is the idea of, it's not faith, it's not emuna, betochen is the idea of trust. So there's no one better than David HaMelech in the book of Tehillim, that almost page after page describes the idea of trusting in God, whether it's his war with his son Avshalom, or the war with Shaul HaMelech, or his personal struggles. So David HaMelech says in Tehillim Shir HaMalo, he says, "Einai el ahorim, ein yovi yezri." David HaMelech says, "I turn my eyes to heaven and I say, or to the mountains, I say, from where is coming my salvation?" And he responds, "Ezri mi Hashem oisei shemayim v'aretz." That my salvation is from God, oisei, the one who makes heaven and earth. Being God is the one who creates and created life, he's the sustainer of life, and therefore my salvation, my help, Ezri, is from Im Hashem. So this is the perspective the Jew has. As David HaMelech says elsewhere in Tehillim, the famous kapitel, Mizmer L'David Hashem Roi Lo Yechsor. God is my shepherd, and I'm missing, I'll be lacking nothing. So it's very clear that the Jewish perspective, the way a Jew looks at things in life, is that everything that a person that we have and everything that we want, anything we need, is being given from God to us. The idea of bitochin, of trusting in God, is at the core root of our faith. Where exactly do we find bitochin in Torah? The different debate within the Rishonim and our early earlier opinions of in the Rishonic period, which we're dealing with around the year, 1000 to about the year 1500. And then it develops into many different ways of understanding. We're not going to get into exactly where is the source of bitochon or the idea of what it means to have bitochon. We're not really going to get into that so much because that's a whole philosophical topic for itself. But we know that that's what the Jew believes. A Jew believes that his life comes from God. As Gemara and Shabbos says that Yisrael is ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, we're natural believers. And being natural believers automatically means that everything we do, everything that happens to us is a result that comes from God. But this is specifically when it comes from Parnassa. We know the Gemara mentions in a number of places, in Ksubis and other places, that Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyir shemayim, that everything is from the hands of heaven. And as Tosis there discusses the idea that everything is in the hands of heaven, that even though there is elements that man could protect himself against and there's certain situations in life where a person has to put in certain efforts, but we, at the end of the day, everything comes from heaven, everything is brought out from a power above. But we find specifically when it comes to Parnassa, a person's sustenance, a person's source of wealth, his income, his finances, that is specifically, we find we need our bitachon, our trust in God for this matter. We have a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuba says a story that this poor person comes to Rava. Rava was in the third generation of the Amoroyim. We're dealing with around the year, let's say, 400 after the Common Era. He comes to Rava and he tells Rava, he says, I'm hungry, I want to eat. So Rava says, well, what are you accustomed to eating? The Gemara there earlier is discussing that a person, the obligation of giving to a poor person is whatever he's accustomed to eating. He says, well, I'm accustomed to eating fatty meat, a nice good steak with some wine. So Rava says, what do you think this is? You know, this is, you know, you're going to, where did you get such an appetite, such a taste from? You know, you're a poor person. How do you have such a, you know, are you going to rely on the community to supply for such types of, you know, extravagant types of meals? So the poor person turns to Rava, he says, what do you mean? We say in Tehillim, we say it every day in Davening, three times at least, that everybody's eyes is to God. And God, that everybody gets food from God. And he says, the Pasuk doesn't say be'itam in their time, in a general time. It says be'itam specifically in your time. That means every person individually has his sustenance, his life, energy or food or whatever achlam refers to that he's getting specifically from God. He says, this is what I need. God is going to provide it for me. And the Gemara says, very interestingly, as this whole discussion is coming, so Rava's sister, who he hasn't seen in 13 years, all of a sudden comes and greets him, and she brings with him a meal, for him a meal. Guess what the meal is? A nice fatty piece of meat with some wine. So Rava all of a sudden tells the poor person, okay, I retract on my whole thing. Kum v'leich v'eichel, go and eat. So we see this idea, this the Jewish psyche is wired that it's not about relying on people and therefore being concerned about whether people will sustain us and people will give us what we need. Don't trust in people in order to have some sort of salvation. Or as the Gemara in Erevin says about the bird that Noach sent out of the ark to see if the land was dry or not. So it says that the Erev once, so the Yonah, the dove goes out and he brings back this olive branch. And we know olives are bitter. And he says this was a sort of symbolism to say that I'd rather have bitter food but I trust in God than getting good food that I have to rely on man. We don't trust, we don't believe, we don't go about our day-to-day life needing, thinking that we need man and we need to be sustained by man. And that's what the story represents. It represents this idea of trusting directly from God. However, if we look at it from that perspective, it sounds very nice, sounds very deep, sounds very spiritual, sounds very godly. But man was born in a world with nature. We live under the rules of nature. And under the rules of nature, money doesn't yet grow out of trees. Even though there is such a way of understanding, the Gemara, as the Erevin says, about when Mashiach will come, you know, that the money will be for everybody, or as the Rambam finishes off in Hilchas Malachim, that Medana Mitzuyim Ka'ofer, that, you know, you just have to go on the street and find, literally, the streets will be paved with gold. But generally speaking, that's not the way the order of the world is now. So, what is this idea? How does a person go about living a life with trying to make a parnasa, with trying to find wealth, with trying to find an income? So, there's no question. Habiteach b'Hashem chesed yisoyev avenu. Someone who trusts in God, his source of energy, his source of life, and his source of sustenance, of parnasa, of income, comes from God. That's what we believe, as we said before. And therefore, a person doesn't go about his day-to-day life concerned, or shouldn't go about in his day-to-day life concerned about where his life is going to, where his sustenance is coming from. As it's the Chovas HaLevavos says from Rabbeinu B'chai Ibn Pekoida in the 10th century, he writes that the idea of trust, bitochen in God, this idea of trusting God is that a person is calm, he knows what's going to happen. He doesn't get all hyped up and worried. He doesn't have an anxiety about where my parnassah is coming from, what am I going to be able to eat, and so on and so forth. Furthermore, we know the Gemara says in a number of places, the Gemara in Be'ah, the Gemara in Megillah, says that from already Rosh Hashanah, everybody's lot of what he's going to make that year is already set out. That ktsuvim, it's already cut out for him what exactly he's going to be making that year. The Gemara in Yuma says that no one could take away what belongs to another person. If a person was, God said that he's going to make X amount of money this year, no one could take it away from you. It's not as if that if you miss out a business deal, it'll come out that the other person is taking away your money. You're going to get what you need to get anyway. So again, the idea is we definitely have that knowledge that our source of income, our source of life, our source of sustenance comes from God. So one could ask a simple question. If that's the case, it's predestined, so I don't have to do anything. I could be yoshiv u'botel. I could sit and do absolutely nothing, and I don't have to work at all because I just have to trust God. God already delegated for me what I'm going to have. It's money in the bank, and I don't need to do anything. So there's one element of this, which is that's true. We don't have to really do anything. What we need to do is have faith. We need to have bitachon. That's what we need. We need bitachon. Through the bitachon, through the having the trust in God, that itself will allow the flow of parnasa to come and give us what we need. We have a very interesting Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech from Luzhensk. So on his commentary to the Torah, so in Parshas Bahar, he quotes something in the name of his brother. He says, Ochi ha-chosed ha-meforsam, my brother Reb Zusha, that everybody knows the two holy brothers of Zusha and Malach. He says something very interesting. In the Pasuk of Bahar, it says when the Torah commands for us to leave away our field for the seventh year, it's called Shvius. In the seventh year, the sabbatical year, you have to leave the food, you have to leave your field, you can't do anything of your food. You can't plant, you can't grow, you can't do any of the sort. So the Pasuk says, if a person is going to say, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to have parnasa from? Where are we going to get our sustenance from? If we're not working, what's going to happen? The business, what, do you just go to stay, sit home a whole day? And then the Pasuk answers, don't worry, you'll make enough in the sixth year for the seventh and the eighth year. You'll have plenty of food. God is promising you tremendous wealth. So the Noam Elimelech quotes from his brother. He asks a simple question. You don't find the Torah ever specifically asking a question explicitly. There's never the Torah explicitly asks a question. Usually the Torah gives an extra word, an extra letter, and says you can learn out from the word that it really means that this, if you're going to ask this question, it answers it through this extra word or letter, that the Torah should give and give us an explicit question and say, this is what you're going to ask. So he says something very interesting. He says, the Torah is telling you the way that you get your source of energy, your source of parnasa. A person's income comes from God as a shefa, as a flow. But for that, a person has to trust God. When you trust God, when you're b'teach b'Hashem, that flow comes. It's like parents who put money in the bank account for you to have an allowance. But if you don't show trust in your parents are going to withhold. They're going to say, hold on one second. Okay, you're questioning, you know, who's the one giving you food from? It's like the marshal that was given is brought down about the child on his father's shoulders, and he sees a whole bunch of different things on the street, and he tells his father, pick this up for me, pick up this up for me. And the father's constantly going and picking up the different things that the son sees on the street. Then he turns and he sees a stranger, and he asks the stranger, do you know where my father is? Right? He's the one supplying you with everything, and you're asking, who is he? Where is he? So he says, if that happens, when a person asks such a question, we ask such a question, so then the flow gets cut off. If you don't trust that your life's energy, that your sustenance is coming from God, the energy gets cut off. The bank account is closed. And therefore, there has to be a restating, a new channeling of energy in order for that bank account to be opened again. And that's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us how we ourselves could undo that flow that has to come by our merely questioning. So from this Noam Elimelech, it seems like the way we get our energy is very clear. Trust. However, this is not sufficient. We find that we have to have trust. We find by the man, the Jews had to trust. In fact, the Torah says that you have to take one of the jugs of man that the Jews had in the desert. They got the man for 40 years or whatever it was, 38 years. You take one of that, you have to take a cup of man and place it, l'mishmeres, the Torah says. And the Gemara explains that what happened in the days of Yirmiyahu, the prophet Yirmiyahu, that the Jews started doing business and they were stopping to learn. And Yirmiyahu says, why aren't you learning Torah? He says, what do you mean? We have to go to work. We have to. Where are we going to get our life sustenance from, our parnasa from? So he says, what about the man? What did the Jews do for to get the man in the Midbar? The man just came down. They didn't have to do anything. So again, you see this idea. However, like we said before, that's not an indication in itself that we have to do nothing. Chazal tell us very strongly, and we see this right from the beginning. If we open up the first book of Bereishis, we see right at the beginning, God has already established the law of nature for how man has to do when it comes to his parnosa, to his life's energy, his source of income. We know when Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, where they ate from the forbidden food, so they were all cursed. What was the curse of Adam? B'zeyas ha'pecha teichol lechem. With the sweat of your hands, you can eat bread. You're going to have to toil. You're going to have to work in order for you to get food. That's how God delegated the law of nature, that every single person has to work in order for him to get food. It's not just going to grow on trees, as we said before. Even further, the Medrash says that we find in the Pasuk that it says that God blesses b'chol ma'asa yadecha. God is going to bless you in anything that your hand does. So the Medrash says that a person shouldn't say, okay, I could sit and do nothing. Yeshiv u'batel, I could enter, you know, I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. I'll just sit and sleep a whole day. And the money will just keep on rolling in. I have some sort of hedge fund that the money is just flowing in from. It says, b'chol ma'asa yadecha. God only blesses your hands work. When you work, God brings you the flow and energy. It's not just about having faith and bitachon, and that's the way we get energy. There's a flow of energy that's coming true, but it's through your actions. It's the way your ma'asa yadecha, is the way it comes about. So therefore, we see very clearly that there has to be some sort of effort done on the person's behalf, on the person's own side of things. But yet at the same time, as we said before, there has to be this bitachon. Where is the balance between the two? Where do we find that on the one hand there's the bitachon, we have to have the trust, but at the same time we need to work, we need to put in some energy. Where do we create this balance? We have another interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that, the Gemara in Nida says that if a person wants to become wealthy, he should go to work, he should do business. Yasik yarbe b'schoyre. He should go and sit and do work. But the Gemara says that a lot of people have tried that they weren't successful. You know, you go, you think you're going to go to work, you're going to go to college, you get a degree, hopefully you'll get hired, you'll think you'll be making $1 million. Doesn't work so easily. So the Gemara says, so what do? You got to pray to God. Dive into the one whose wealth belongs to him. Seems like prayer is the main job. So the Gemara says, no, you need both. You need to pray to God and you need to work. Again, this notion where you need these two elements. There's the prayer, which is an indication of allowing this flow through our belief, through our trust in God. But then there's the work that needs to happen here as well. We find also the Gemara, then the Kiddushin, a fascinating mission. It says that a person is obligated to teach his son a craft. You have to make sure your son knows. You know, today you have the question, should I have my child go to college or not? Or should I have my child, you know, learn something that he could grow up? You know, everybody says, I need to go to college, I need to get a degree. So the mission on some level says a father has to teach his son how to be able to live in the world, how to make a parnasa, how to be able to create a job. My grandfather made sure that all my father and my uncles, they all learned something as a child. One learned electricity, one learned refrigeration. Everybody had his specific field that they dealt with in order to make sure that they could get a job when they get older, to have what to eat, to have parnasa. So again, there's the idea of work. But at the same time, the Mishnah there also says, but a person still has to pray to God, because at the end of the day, you could try to work, you could have a profession, you could be a professional, but doesn't mean you're going to get the job you need. Doesn't mean you're going to make money on the job that you need. So therefore, you have to pray to God as well. So again, we have these two elements, this idea of trusting in God, but at the same time, I need to work, I need to put an effort, I need to put an energy for this thing to happen. So where's this balance? And what's the idea of this balance over here? And the truth is, if we really analyze the question, I think the question could be conceptualized in a different form. If God created the world with laws of nature, we know that the world works in an orderly fashion. One of the things of nature is b'zeis apecha teichalechem, that we have to work. Money doesn't grow on the trees. But yet at the same time, we know a Jew's root is higher than nature. our existence. We're coming out from Purim. The fact that we survived throughout thousands of years of persecution and destruction is the greatest indication that we don't live a life purely on the laws of nature. We transcend nature. We're the supernatural. Our existence is the supernatural. So where do we blend nature versus supernatural, the natural versus the supernatural? How do we look at this flow that we yet are above? Our source of energy is from above nature, but yet we have to work within nature. We have to work within the way God set the set of rules, but yet we have to fly above sometimes, or not sometimes. We always have to believe that we come from. The Jews were at the Suda, the party that Achashverosh made. They were going to be destroyed because they decided that they have to work within the laws of nature. They have to be, you know, subservient to the kingdom at the time. And they were nearly killed and wiped out. It's only because they pray to God. So again, this is really the question. How do we look at our status in the world? Are we people that work within the laws of nature, or do we transcend the nature? And the truth is that this has been a long debate and a long argument, as I said, for thousands of years, going back to the times of the Tanoim. The Gemara in Bracha says that there was a big debate between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel learns out from the pasuk "Va'asafta deganecha." The Gemara in Bracha says that a person has to work like everybody else. You have to work. You have to be kederach haaretz. You have to be the one that goes out there in the fields and plants and sows and plants in order for you to eat. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "What do you mean? If the guy's going to be plowing, the guy's going to be harvesting, when is he going to sit on learn Torah? Torah mateola. He's going to be busy working the whole day. When is he going to have a chance to learn? So therefore, he says, throw away all the work." And the Gemara there says that a lot of people tried Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's way of work, but loyal Silvi Yadim, they weren't successful. But we have these two ideas. Is when I have a crossroads, do I say, you know, I have two ways of looking, two perspectives, do I say, I go on the Betachon road, I'm just going to sit and rely that God will take care of me, or do I put an effort in making sure that I'm going to do what I need to do in order to do within the laws of nature again? And as I said, for thousands of years, this question has been discussed. There's a famous Ramban. The Ramban lived in the 13th century. He says as follows. He says in Parshas Bechukosah, he says, the Torah gives permission for a doctor to heal. There's a natural way a person can get healed. But a person shouldn't trust that. A person shouldn't go to doctors. He's not a big fan of doctors. There's a lot of people who are not a big fan of doctors. But for him, for another reason. He says you have to trust God. He says if you're ill, if you have a sickness, that's an indication you did something wrong. Do tshuva. Don't go to doctors. He doesn't believe in the natural. He believes in the supernatural. In fact, the halacha, there is such an argument that Taz, from the 17th century, quotes in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeah, that such a logic is valid on some level, that you shouldn't go to doctors. But that's the minority view. That's the Rav Shimon bar Yochai's view. But then there's the majority view. The majority view is that we have to do work in this world. From Adam HaRishon on, from the Bezeyas HaPecha Teich HaBasa, we have to work in this world. The Chavis HaLavav says that's part of our faith. That's part of our trusting. The Mesilas Yesharim says, once God designated this as a law of nature, we have to work. We have to put in nishtadlus. We have to put in effort. That's the way the world works. So where does our trust come in, and where does our hishtadlus come in? Where do these two come together? If we need to work, and we have to work within the laws of nature, if that's our job in this world, is to work, then where does the faith and the trust come in? So the truth is, this is again the bigger question, but again, we're trying to just bring a few points out. What's our purpose in this world? What are we doing in this world? We're dealing with the supernatural, we're dealing with the spiritual, and we're dealing with the physical. We believe that God created the world from nothing. The world sustains itself on the word of God. Everything that happens in this world is a direct result of Oisei Shemayim V'Oretz. The one who created the laws of nature comes Me'im Hashem. What does that mean? What that means is that I have to be part of that nature. I have to be part of that world, the Oisei Shemayim V'Oretz. I have to be the person that allows this flow of energy to come here. And that is by me working with the rules of nature. The Medrash says something very interesting. The Medrash says that an Apikorsis once came to Rabbi Akiva, and he says, why is it if this idea of your bris milah is this idea of perfection, why isn't that God didn't make you complete? What is this idea of you circumcising yourself? God made a perfect world. God is perfect. Why does he make an imperfect man? So he gave an example. He says, when you take a seed, a kernel of wheat, what do you do with it? You have to grind it. In grinding it, you make it into a dough, into a flour. In flour, you make it into a dough and you bake it. The way we complete God's creation in the world is through our actions. We make the vessel, we make the capabilities of that law of nature, that the flow of the divine into the natural is through our efforts, or through our keli, through our making ourselves a vessel for that flow of energy. When we go to work every day, we're not believing that our work is what's giving us our parnasa, our source of energy. It's not because we have some sort of insurance policy and we believe that that's where our source of energy is coming from. No, that's the kli. That's working with the laws of nature. That's taking the kernel of wheat and grinding it and working with it in order to bring out its potential. But at the end of the day, when I'm planting, when I'm sowing, when I'm investing, when I'm making these, when I'm going to work, it's because it's the inner knowledge that it's coming from God. A Jew doesn't go to work thinking that his parnassah is coming from the office that he's working in. It's the means. And the same thing is with going to the doctor. It's a tool, it's a means of going somewhere. It's a keli. It's a vessel to allow this flow of energy to happen. Without the vessel, it's like a person that wants to experience, you know, eating a piece of steak without eating the piece of steak. It's impossible. You have to work within the laws, and you have to make yourself capable of this experience by eating the steak. If you don't eat the steak, then you won't have that type of results, that experience. So that's basically the idea. In order for us to actually experience what we need to experience, in order for the energy to flow in this physical world, the world is created with the laws of nature, that's the only way we do it. But it's coupled with the fact that there's a faith, a trust in God. That is the only way the flow could come down. As we said before about the child on the father's shoulders, there has to be the acknowledgement that the father is carrying the son. And only through that does the flow of energy come about. And again, like I'm saying, there's a lot more to discuss on this. But yet we also find that there were certain people that were higher than the nature. They didn't have to go to work. They didn't have to rely on nature. Rabbeinu Bachaye, the late Rabbeinu Bachaye, says something very interesting. At the end of Parshas Miketz, it says that Yosef interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer for Pare. And there it says that he asked him to remind Pare that he's still lingering in jail. And the Torah tells us that Yosef was punished, that he had to stay in jail an extra 2 years because he didn't trust God. 1 second, everybody. Rabbeinu Bachaye says, trust in God? He's trusting in God, but he's making that keli. He's working within the laws of nature. I shouldn't go to the government. I shouldn't go to people that could help me to get my flow in this world. I shouldn't, you know, try to have my effort, my hishtadlut in the world in order for this energy to come. It's like the person who's drowning. And he prays God, God, please save me, please save me. And someone throws him a rope. And he says, no, God, please save me, please save me. And then a boat comes, a famous joke or whatever you want to say. Look at the analogy. You have to use what's available in the physical world. What was his mistake? So again, this is discussed at length. But one of the answers, and if not the main answer that everybody basically says, is that Yosef was on a higher plane. For a person like Yosef, he didn't have to work within the laws of nature. He stood above nature. He didn't need the laws of nature in order for him to be successful. We find another opinion, Rabbi Doisod. The Zohar tells us Rabbi Doisod, before he ate, he used to, even though he had the food on the table, he would say, pray to God that the food should come. He believed everything was above natural. He lived in an above natural state. In the Chassidic philosophy, it's the difference between living in the world of Sovav Kolam and Amala Kolam, which we won't get into, but this idea of either living within the world of nature or living above nature. But that's for the Miut, that's for the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's class, that's for the Ramban's class of people, those few people that could be successful when they just trust God. The Pasuk says in Malachim, it says about Chizkiyahu HaMelech that when Sisera came, one of the big wars he had, Sanherib came, so he said, I'm going to sleep in my bed, God will take care of it for me. You have people, a few people, that could rely purely on God and don't have to make an effort in this world. But most of us have to make an effort in this world. That's the way we were, that's why we're born in this world. That's why we're created. That's why the world of nature was created. The Oisei Shemayim Varetz. It's Ezri Mashem Oisei Shemayim Varetz. The way we fulfill our mission, the way we fuel our energy, our blessing is from Oisei Shemayim Varetz, with working within the world, but trusting in God at the same time. So now we're left with the final question. Fine. I know I need to work. I know that's what God designated the world to be, that I have to work within nature. That's my kli, that's my vessel, that's my channel of getting my flow in this world, and I'm not a Yosef HaTzadik. But then the question comes, there's one thing for me to say, I got to go to work today because I need food on my table today. I got to work tomorrow because I need food tomorrow. Within the current state, I believe that this is my job and I know this is what I need to do. But I'm talking now from 50 years ahead of my time. I don't know what's going to happen in 50 years from now, or in 20 years from now, or in 10 years from now. Do I plan now for such a long, for a future like that? That seems to go against trusting God. It's saying, I'm not going to be able to support myself in 20 years from now. I'm not going to be able to live the way I think I can live now because, you know, I'm going to get old, whatever. What do you mean, trust God that you'll be able to make a parnasa then as you're going to make now? Why do I have to prepare for retirement, have a retirement plan? Why do I need to have a life insurance plan? What's the necessity? Trust God that, you know, Mashiach is coming any moment. Right? The Gemara says in many places about the Kohanim that a Kohen, whether he's allowed to drink nowadays because maybe Mashiach is coming any moment. And the Gemara says, Hilchah and the Mashiach, you know, we don't worry about, we don't work on that level. So the question is, why is it that not a breach of faith in God? In fact, you have two very interesting statements of Chazal. Very similar statements. You have a Gemara at the end of Saita. The Gemara at the end of Saita says that one of the opinions of Rabbi Lezer HaMudoi is trying to explain to us the pasuk. What does it mean, mekatnei amono, that people who are small of faith don't trust so much? So he says that's a person who has food today and is worried about tomorrow. He says that's mekatnei amono. That's not a good thing. If a person has food, what to eat today, he's not allowed to ask, what is he going to have tomorrow? He's not allowed to worry about the future. He has to worry about today. Go to work today, work today. The Zohar in Parshas B'Shalach says the same thing, very similar. It says about the mon, we find by the mon, every day they got just what they needed for that day. And they didn't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. The exception was for Shabbos, but they didn't know initially that for Shabbos they were going to get, on Friday they were going to get a double portion. And therefore the Zohar therefore comes to the conclusion the person only has to worry about his current day's situation. He doesn't worry about the future. That he trusts God. The mon came today, it's going to come tomorrow. You trust God. You don't make plans for the future. That's what we'll see from these statements of Chazal. So I trust in God and I work. I go to work, I make sure, but I'm gonna that life, that nature is gonna stay. Why do I have to prepare for the future? And this is a valid question again with today, with the different policies and the different means of preparing ourselves for an eventuality, the future. It becomes a very big question. Do I just say I trust God, and whatever God has it in for me, it'll happen? And whether trust means you believe it's going to be the ultimate good or not, different ways of thinking about what trust means, as I said, we're not going to get into. But these statements of Chazal seem to clearly say that a person should not worry about the future. Work, yes, but that's for now. Teach your child a job so he'll have what to do, be able to work and have a plan of work. But that doesn't mean that you should worry about his future in 25 years from now. It means that you're giving him the means to make a job. That's not natural. That's the natural order. And we find three different opinions in the contemporary poskim, in the contemporary codifiers of law, how they view this issue about insurance policies and so on and so forth. Rabbi Avada Yosef, in his tshuvot in one of his set of tshuvot called Chavas Das, he discusses this issue, and he goes through the different topics, the different things. His opinion is that there's nothing wrong with preparing for the future. You're not doing anything wrong. He brings a Gemara in Sota, which says about Rabbi Elazar Mudoi, that says a person shouldn't worry about the future. He says, it doesn't mean that if you do worry about the future, you're doing something wrong. It just means on the ultimate level, again, the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the people that live on such a high plane, on such a high spiritual plane, for them, you know what? They're not supposed to worry about the future. People in the Midbar, they were the Dor HaMidbar, the Dor HaDeya, they were on a high level. Us regular people don't have anything wrong if we need to worry about the future a little bit and prepare ourselves. There's another Rabbi Shmuel Vazner, also has in his tshuvot, the similar discussion, where he again also more of takes the view on a little more of a stronger angle that you're allowed to. Not only you're not doing anything wrong, but you're allowed to prepare for the future. But the strongest opinion is Rav Moshe Feinstein. In his tshuvot and Igros Moshe, where there he's very strong. He says, we know we have a klal in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, in many places, in Tainus, Ein Simchin Al Anes, we don't rely on miracles. The Mishnah that we mentioned in Kedushin says a person has to teach his child to prepare for the future. It's a necessity and obligation on a person to trust for the future. That's his obligation. That's part of the divine plan of action, that you prepare for now for the future. You make plans for the future. And he says, even though we find an opinion in the Mishnah and Kiddushin that says also that you shouldn't teach your child, he says, I don't teach my child any other craft. I teach him how to learn, and I'm not worried about the future. He says, that opinion is talking about when a child is young, and then we don't have to worry. But when you come to a point where you have to make plans for the future, there's a real crisis, the child is of age to learn how to get a job, you have to teach him how to get a job. He says, we don't rely on miracles. What about trusting God? He says, that is how you're trusting in God. That's the truth. That's the trust. You believe that God has a plan. He prepared for you. It's like the person who's drowning and a rope is sent for him. That is the plan. There's things put in place for you for now that in the future you'll be able to go and be able to have a proper parnasa. That you'll be able to have your children, will be able to make sure that they have what to eat after an event that chas v'shalom could happen after 120 years. You have one other point that's brought down from another set of tshuvot, the tshuvos ha'anhogot. He says, you could have bitachon for yourself, but don't force your bitachon on your children and family. That's very nice that you want to have high, holy bitachon. But what about your children? What about them? You should throw your bitachon on them. This is a very important lesson in life about where we play the role of bitachon. Don't have bitachon for someone else. Don't say, oh, it's okay for you. You know, it's fine. For your children, you can't have bitachon. For yourself, you can have bitachon. At any rate, what we see is that there's an importance to work. There's an importance to work with the laws of nature. It's to deal with the world the way God designated the Osei Shemayim V'aretz, the way God made the world and the nature for us to get our flow. And according to some, there's an absolute obligation to prepare for the future. But just to finish off for another second, the last point, why? Why did God make it that way? The same Mishnah that we said, and then the Kiddushin says something fascinating. It says that one of the opinions of Shimon ben Elazar says, he says, have you ever seen a bird that has to go to work? Have you ever seen the fish that have to go to work? The animals don't have to go to work and they get plenty of food. Okay, yes. A lion has to, you know, stalk its prey for a little bit to make sure it gets food. But its food is there. It doesn't have to really, doesn't have to go to work and then invest and wait 5 years to see if the investment is going to come out. He says, why does man have to work? Why do we got to work? Why are we any different? In fact, we have another very interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Pasuk says that Adam la'omol yulod. A person was created for work. That was his job. So the Gemara wants to know what's exactly his job that he has to do. Well, he has to toil, la'omol. He has to toil. What does he have to toil? So the Gemara's first way of thinking, he has to omol malacha. He actually has to physically labor. The Gemara says, no, we're not talking about Omo Malach. He can't say that was his ultimate purpose. His ultimate purpose was Omo Sicha, to work in talking, in using his mouth. So Gemara says, does that mean Dvar Mbetalim, idle chat, or is it talking about davening and learning? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Omo Torah is the main thing. But we know that whenever the Gemara has a Hava meaning, even the Gemara just has an initial thought, an hypothesis to say this is what it means, even that's considered true. So the Gemara has a way of thinking that omul means that a person has to work. That's his job in life. His ultimate purpose in life is to work. That sounds ridiculous. We're Jews. We believe in God. We know that there's an ultimate plan of God's creation is to bring down God's energy into this world or, you know, get to reward, connect to God, so on and so forth. How could omul malacha do this accomplishment? So this is the last, try to very quickly, just to mention a very quick point on this. We said before man was created with the image, in the image, we didn't mention this before, the idea of God is created in the image of man. Man is created in the image of God. What does that mean? That means that God designated for man to be a God in this world. We have to be partners in God's creation. The Gemara says this in many places. One of the Gemara, the Nida, it says that when a father and mother give birth to a child, there's three partners. There's the father, there's the mother, and there's God. We become a shutif, we become a partner in Ma'aseh Bereishis. We become, when we keep Shabbos, the Gemara says, we become a partner in creation. Man's obligation is not to be a recipient of God's benevolence. We have to be a proactive partner in his creation of the world. We said before the Medrash about taking the seed, the kernel. The idea is that man has to perfect the world. We are actually gods in this world, so to speak. We are here to fulfill God's mission and God's plan through us becoming the proactive people in this world to bring that about. We can have a spiritual plane. We can live in the spiritual world, in the theological, philosophical, abstract world. But it's not what God wanted. God wanted us to be partners in creation. And the only way you're a partner in creation is when you make what the world is ultimately destined to do, is refining the world. Refining the world means going to work. Refining the world means dealing with the world. It means going to business deals or whatever else you have to do. And part of it is also, as Chassidus will explain, is the idea of taking out from there the different sparks of holiness and transforming the negative into the positive and all that. But this is the way we become partners in creation. When we go to work every day and we make plans for the future in the physical world, that's the way we become a full-on partner in God's world. We take the seed that God created, but then we crush it, we make it into flour, we make it into bread, and through that we fulfilled our purpose and our mission in this world. So I think it's very clear that we have an obligation to worry about the future, in the physical, to deal with the physical. It's not a curse, it's not a curse that we have to go to work. It's our job and our why. We are this is what God wants for us to do in this world. There's no predestination in the fact that, oh, all of a sudden I just sit and don't worry, God will send all of a sudden all the energies and all the money will grow on trees. I have to work. And I have to prepare for the future. But at the same time, it all comes with a fundamental knowledge of who you are as a Jew. To finish off the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, David HaMelech says that if a person builds and God doesn't help him or God doesn't sustain the building won't last. The person could plan for the future, a person could make great plans and great ideas, but if he doesn't believe that this is all from God, if we don't believe that as a core of a Jew, that we only have our Father in heavens to rely, and then everything goes to naught. It's like the Noam HaLimelech said about, we said earlier about in the year of Shvius, a person cannot say, oh, what am I going to eat? Because as soon as you say that, when you don't realize, you don't identify your source, your energy comes from God, so then everything, then the energy, that chas v'shalom, there could be a cut of the flow of the energy. But we should merit to the time when there will taka, as the Rambam says, that there'll be no need to go to work. According to most opinions, there won't be any poverty when Mashiach comes. We won't have to worry about parnasa. Until we get there, part of our job is to get there, and that's by us going to work. That's by making sure we deal with the world. But we should be zeicha very soon to the time when that will have the ultimate revelation of when that won't be necessary, and we'll all have what we need, physically and spiritually.